Which Way LA is made possible in part by the Ralph M. Parsons Foundation, the Nathan Cummings Foundation, the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation, and the John Randolph Haynes and Dora Haynes Foundation, which supports study and research into policy issues of the Los Angeles region.
Can the gang capital of the world get its act together? Hello again, I'm Armin Olney, and this is Which Way LA, KCRW's ongoing series on the issues Southern Californians care about. A massive new report on gang violence produced what its main author called a power panel yesterday at Los Angeles City Hall. The police chief, the fire chief, and the county sheriff said law enforcement isn't enough, and the superintendent of schools said he'll keep schools open late to give kids more to do. Is this finally the start of a new coordinated approach to what the mayor calls public enemy number one? Or is it another recipe for failure? On Reporter's Notebook, three bids for Tribune Publishing and the L.A. Times. First the news. Norman Olney back with Which Way L.A. on KCRW. As we've heard on our program, a prestigious group called the Advancement Project has produced a massive report on Los Angeles, now called the World Capital of Gang Violence. Despite the efforts and the expenditures of multiple public agencies and dozens of independent projects, the problem is worse than it was 20 years ago. It's comparable to a public health epidemic, and rather than dealing with symptoms, it's time to treat basic causes, says the report. Yesterday at Los Angeles City Hall, the City Council's Ad Hoc Committee on Gangs heard what's described as a power panel of high-level officials respond to the report. One was City Controller Laura Chick, who said she was on another such committee when she was a city council member 11 years ago. I asked her what happened.
Well, yes, there was a city council ad hoc committee on gang violence 11, 12 years ago. We, in fact, out of that committee, decided to create the program called LA Bridges, which is in many of our middle schools throughout the city, targeted at preventing young children in middle school from joining gangs. And when we were forming that program, I hinged my support and my vote as a social worker as well as a council member on allocating dollars inside the program for a regular outside objective evaluation. Why? Because I had witnessed too many times good intentions of creating programs very much needed to achieve specific objectives. And the programs are created, and then everyone walks away, you know, like cutting a ribbon at a building opening. We congratulate ourselves, problem solved, project done. I say, no, you've got to go back and ask the questions. Are we really achieving the intended goals and objectives? Are we really helping the people we set out to help? Are we succeeding? If you don't go back and ask those questions, then you're throwing good money after bad.
So you're talking about accountability, and one of the things that Takani Rice says in her report is that there hasn't been any. She describes the same kind of thing you're talking about happening again and again and again and again. How do you accomplish accountability on a widespread basis so that all of these programs can be judged for whether or not they're accomplishing what they're supposed to?
Well, I agree with Connie Rice that, first of all, at the very front end, when you are creating and designing a program, at the very front end, you have to build in performance measurements. You have to build in ways that you are going to be able to go back in, collect data, and tell whether you're making progress, whether you're making a dent, whether things are improving. And by the way, going back 11 years to the story I was telling, we built in the evaluation piece, and what happened is the awarding of the evaluation contract degenerated into a political free-for-all with a politically connected firm applying to get that contract, and when they didn't get it, fighting about it, and the council deadlocked and could not get the votes to award the evaluation contract to anyone. So, by the way, another thing I would say, what has to be done differently, is not only do you have to build in measurable performance goals and then go and do the evaluation, but it has to be done in a very open, public, transparent way so that you remove the political machinations and maneuvering that often goes on. Well-intentioned people, but once a program is funded, it's very hard to take something away once you give it. And, you know, they often say social workers are bleeding hearts. I'm tough as nails. These are precious dollars that need to get to the people that we're trying to help. And so taking the politics out of it, if a program's succeeding, you grow it, you replicate it, you keep funding it, you expand it. If it's not succeeding, you defund it, you end it, you shut it down, and you give the money to programs that are working. It isn't about who's nice. It isn't about who's politically connected. It's about what's working. And to me, Warren, going forward, what do we do differently to really solve and address gang violence in the city of L.A.? Is you evaluate the programs that are out there, you get rid of the ones that aren't working, and you grow the ones that are. And then we'll be successful.
Talking to Laura Chick, the controller for the state, for the city of Los Angeles, former council member, you have added a new dimension to this, because not only are there political struggles over every one of the different gang programs in and of themselves, you say there was a political struggle over who was going to, in fact, evaluate the gang problem. So that just raises it to another level.
Well, absolutely. And it's why there needs to be, you know, professional standards in this. It's not about which agency has worked the most closely with a particular council member. It's not about, you know, who's nice or who's smart. It's whose program is succeeding based on objective evaluations. And that should be the beginning, middle, and end of it. The only other comment from yesterday's committee meeting, this whole business about we need to all work together is so pitiful for the public to continue to hear from its elected leaders. The public already thinks we're working together. They think their elected leaders are hard at work trying to solve complex problems. That's what the public should be getting. Of course, the sheriff, the chief of LAPD, the probation department, the prisons, the courts, the schools, the mayor, of course we should be working together. It's absurd that we're doing anything other than that. So I appreciate the fact that the report put a spotlight on the fact that we're not, but I suppose, in my opinion, that's the most criminal part of all of this.
City Controller Laura Chick, as always, many thanks.
Thank you, Warren.
We conducted that interview just a few minutes ago. The chair of the current ad hoc committee on gangs of the city council is Councilman Tony Cardenas, and welcome to you as always.
Thank you very much. Pleased to be here, Warren.
How can you prevent your committee, your ad hoc committee, after all that has been said, from having the same result we just heard described by Controller Chick? It seems as if this is going right to the heart of a lot that's wrong with city government.
Well, I'm glad to say that I wasn't on the city council 11 years ago the way Laura described it, but I am on the council now, and I'm very proud to say that in the 6 years that I was in the legislature, I worked on a few things, and one of them was that I actually created performance measurements that exist today in the juvenile justice system at the state level, and it's called the Shift Cardenas Act. At the state level, I implemented it, and we can do it here at the local level. The difference is, this is where the rubber meets the road, and now the city of Los Angeles has to finally have better coordination, have better accountability, and actually require that each program be evaluated. That is not happening today, and those are the kinds of things that we're going to do. You ask me what my committee is going to do about it? Well, I'll tell you this. When I got on the city council 3 years ago, a lot of politicians promised to cut taxes for businesses in the city. As the chairman of the committee that was charged with that, I actually got it done. It took me just under 2 years. In addition to that, when I take charge of a particular issue, I actually make sure that we bring it to fruition. Laura's right. A lot of people make promises, but I'm promising you today that we are going to get it done. We're going to be meeting as a committee. We're going to be hearing from the public. We're going to be evaluating departments. We're going to be looking at what the solutions are, and we're going to make the tough votes to make it happen.
Not all these departments are under your jurisdiction, as Laura Chick mentioned, in addition to the LAPD, the fire department, all the various city agencies that are involved. You've also got the county sheriff. You've got the courts as well. As she says, most people think that all of those agencies are working together, but they're really not. How are you going to accomplish that?
Well, actually, it's interesting you should bring up the fire department, because I think the point needs to be made. The people affected by this gang war, this gang violence, include our paramedics and firefighters. For example, they're the first ones to come up on a scene, and they themselves are getting shot at. They themselves are getting threatened. So one thing I want to point out, we have to do something, because this is creating a spectrum of victims like never before. This gang war has got to stop. But at the same time, you ask, well, why aren't all these departments coordinating? Well, the fact of the matter, Warren, is they are a little bit. We need to do our job in the city of Los Angeles and get our house in order. I think we can and will be the example to show them that we're doing things right, we are coordinated, we are being efficient, we're reaching out to them, we're bringing them in, and we will be the nucleus to make sure that we actually make a difference on this gang war that we have in the streets of Los Angeles. This is Los Angeles' urban Katrina, in my opinion, and we have to do something fast. The police department told me the other day that we have documented 2,200 deaths due to gang violence over the last 6 years. If we don't do something about it soon, we're going to see that same number in the next 6 years, or maybe even more.
Okay, nobody disputes the nature of the magnitude of the problem or the fact that it's getting worse, but the point seems to be, judging from the Connie Rice study, that there are all these programs, all working independently, all well-intentioned, all trying to do something, but not only are they not well-coordinated, but nobody knows whether or not what they're doing is working. Do you need some sort of separate agency? Do you need a gang czar, to use that term, which Connie Rice doesn't like, but which she says is what really describes what's needed. Can you do that?
Well, I agree with Connie that we need accountability, and that's one of the things that her and I have had many discussions on. But at the same time, we may need an executive director, maybe a general manager, maybe an actual department. Right now, we don't have that, and that is one of the contributing factors of people pointing fingers and saying, I don't know what's going on, ask him. I don't know about that program. It's not under our jurisdiction. If we pull all of that together, we're going to be able to do much better with what we have. And the reason why I say much better with what we have, we've documented for sure. We can't honestly tell you exactly how or where or when or what the positive results are, but we're spending about $26 million a year on intervention and prevention here in the city of Los Angeles. But at the same time, it's not coordinated. There's no accountability. We need to do that first. Warren, like I said earlier, we have to get our house in order, and that's the first step. The urgency is there, but we have to get our house in order first.
City Councilman Tony Cardenas, the chair of the current ad hoc committee on the gangs in Los Angeles, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you very much, Warren.
At yesterday's hearing, the chiefs of the fire and police departments and the county sheriff all said law enforcement is not enough to deal with gang violence. The new report calls for involvement of the LA Unified School District. One witness, Superintendent David Brewer. I asked him where gangs are on his list of priorities.
I would say it has to be in the top three. One of the first calls I made to the mayor was in response to a request from the students at Santee High School for a bus to run in front of the school so that they could, number one, come to school earlier and leave later so that they could do after-school work as well as enrichment. And that, for me, defined the issue because they were having to walk a gang gauntlet to the bus stop about two blocks away. And to me, that was unacceptable because it was, number one, having a what I call post-traumatic stress disorder impact on students, and therein was affecting their ability to learn.
What about the impact of violence on the learning experience?
Well, my uncle was in World War II. And he suffered from PTSD from 1944 until 1963. It is debilitating. It causes all kinds of stress-related reactions, both physically and mentally. And so, in essence, you can't learn in an environment when you are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. And we did the statistical analysis. 88% of our sixth graders had seen multiple incidents of violence. 65% had been victims of violence. That's just unacceptable.
One of the recommendations that Connie Rice has made is that the schools themselves be made available, left open much longer, so that there will be alternative activities for kids to engage in. Is that something you can accept?
Absolutely. The kids at the students at Santee have already defined what that is at 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. So you think about it. We already run beyond the bell in our schools up until around 6 p.m., but they wanted to run from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. So we're going to have to – this is what I like about Connie Rice's program. This is everybody's responsibility. I'm more than willing to partner with, say, Boys and Girls Club, YWCA, YMCA, faith-based organizations to come in and help us keep those schools open longer, you know, given any legal ramifications that we may have to go through, so the kids can have a safe haven. One student told me point blank, She said, I am afraid to come out of my house at night because I'm liable to get raped or attacked. And one kid said, I don't have a computer at home, so I want to stay here so I can work on my AP courses, advanced placement courses here at the school.
In Los Angeles, historically, there's been a lot of difficulty getting agencies to cooperate with one another. All the administrators have said that and complained about it. Are you in a position to take initiatives to try to get other agencies involved in this issue?
Absolutely. I will be a voice that will basically say there are three, you know, in real estate, it's location, location, location. In civic and public organization, it's collaboration, collaboration, collaboration. I think most people in this city know this already, that Dave Brewer is a collaborator. I will reach out to anyone who's willing to come in and help. And to be very frank, I will force the issue and embarrass you if you don't in some cases, because it is time to get this behind us. And L.A. has been living with gangs now for way too long. I mean, I remember when Montel Williams came out here and talked to the Crips and the Bloods about 20 years ago. Montel used to work for me in his capacity in the Naval Reserves. And so, you know, and we worked with Montel through that process. And this is just unacceptable.
Okay. Well, it's always good to talk with you.
Great.
Again, that was David Brewer, a former admiral, now the superintendent of public instruction, or of the public schools, rather, here in Los Angeles. I talked to him a few moments ago as well. Connie Rice, again, heads the Advancement Project. She was the main author of the recent report on gang violence. I should say she had with her a squad of PhDs. She's fond of pointing that out, doesn't want to take full credit for the report, but as a shorthand device, we attribute it to her. Welcome, as always, to our program.
Good to be with you, Warren.
Listening to Connie Rice, listening to Superintendent Brewer, it sounds like they're reading right out of your report.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It's good. Yesterday's hearing was the hearing that the ad hoc committee had, the first hearing on the report, was very, it was a consensus. It was great to see even the CAOs. You had the CAOs, Bill Fujioka and David Jansen, they're sitting there together with the new CAO, Karen Sisson, saying, even as administrators, we've got to meld county operations with city operations to deliver services in a targeted way, neighborhood by neighborhood, to reduce violence. So I think we've achieved consensus at the idea level. I'm just not quite sure about the execution.
CIOs, the chief administrative officers of both the city and the county. Well, you do have this issue of all of these different agencies, which are in some cases in different jurisdictions. We just added one, the superintendent of schools. What's it going to take? You called for a kind of Marshall Plan, and is it going to cost a lot of money to get them all working together?
Well, I call for a Marshall Plan level response, meaning a level of coordination, synergy, strategy that is geographically large and to the scale of the problem. Because right now, as Laura and some of the others have and in the report definitely notes, we've had very, very small, tiny, ad hoc, uncoordinated, politically driven programming. And if you're talking about a program, I think we're at the wrong level. We need to be talking about a paradigm. It's not about a program. We could, LA Bridges 1 and 2, the gang intervention and prevention programs that the city does have, and that was the $26 million that you heard Councilman Cardenas referring to. If they were working full tilt at the best level possible and had all the evaluation and performance standards and all the good stuff that we've been talking about, they would still only reach 2% of the 300,000 children that are trapped in high gang territories and less than 5% of gang members. So that's the real problem here. How do you get to scale? And you talked about the cross-jurisdictional nature of this. We already do it for the emergency planning. You know how that emergency bunker where everybody has to get in the basement and plan for earthquakes and terrorist attacks? You've got the sheriff, you've got LAPD, you've got the fire departments for the county and the city and many other cities. You've got all 88 cities represented in that little basement, plus all of the city departments, water and power and park and recs, and you name it. They're all around that King Arthur's Round Table down there, and they've had to learn to work together. Well, guess what? They came together to plan for response to an emergency, but then they all go back to their silos and their departments and their jurisdictions. What I'm saying is take that model and take it one step further and make it 24/7 all year round.
Once again, we're going to basic issues about the way that government functions in Los Angeles. We'll continue to follow it. To Connie Rice, as always, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Warren.
I'll be right back with Which Way LA.
For more information about Which Way LA or to sign up for the free podcast, visit kcrw.com/whichwayla. CD copies are also available. Call 1-800-600-KCRW.
Warman Olney back with Reporter's Notebook on Which Way LA. Yesterday was the deadline for bids for Tribune Publishing, owner of the Los Angeles Times. As recently as Tuesday, investment analysts were saying there might not be any bids at all. But there were, from the Chandler family, the former owners, from Eli Brode and Ron Burkle working together, and from a private equity firm interested in the Tribune's television stations. That's according to Sarah Allison in today's Wall Street Journal. Sarah, welcome to our program.
Hi.
These are very different offers, I take it.
They are all very different. It's a little confusing to wade through them, but that's what the Tribune's investment bankers will be doing in the coming days.
Now, quickly, the Chandler family, again, used to own the paper. They're now major stockholders in Tribune Publishing. Do they actually want to get the Los Angeles Times back in the family?
It doesn't appear that way. It appears that what they want to do is take control of the papers so that they can eventually sell them later. The Chandlers don't appear to want to be long-term owners in the newspaper business. And in fact, one of the reasons why they started this process back in May is because they're pretty bearish on the newspaper business, and they think it's just going to decline from here on out.
What about Ron Burkle, the supermarket magnate, and Eli Brode, well-known, of course, real estate investor, art patron here in Los Angeles? What kind of offer did they make?
Well, they made an offer that would keep the company intact and would, in fact, keep it publicly traded and run by Tribune Management, but they would get control of about 30% of the company. And it would also require taking on a lot of debt. And for the existing shareholders, they would get a big cash dividend and a big payout right away. But then what would happen is that Eli and Ron would both sort of roll up their sleeves and sit down at the table. They would be the non-executive co-chairman of the board of Tribune, and they think that they have ideas for what to do with the company that would improve the value, and it would keep it as an intact company, but that they would be able to do things over the coming years so it would actually improve the value of the shares.
So neither of them then would be the publisher of the Los Angeles Times. That's one of the things that's been speculated a lot about here.
Doesn't seem that way, but I don't know that for sure.
Then there's this equity firm that's interested in the television stations, spinning them off. Haven't the Tribune people, the existing executives, talked about doing that?
They have talked about doing that. In fact, that was something that they've been looking at, you know, starting 18 months ago. They were looking at trying to do that, and they decided they wanted to wait a little while because they were launching a new CW network and they thought the value of those stations would improve. The private equity firm is actually the Carlyle Group. We've learned that today. And that's just another proposal. Of course, that would involve splitting the company, which is the only, you know, which would be a different thing than keeping it intact, as Eli Brode and Ron Burkle are proposing.
Of course, one of the TV stations is KTLA, Channel 5 here in Los Angeles. Remind our listeners about the Carlyle Group. Who is that?
They're a private equity firm, and so they would be taking the company private, and that involves, again, taking a lot of debt out and levering up the company and cutting out costs, which can involve a lot of job cuts. Now, that's something that obviously hasn't been accepted yet, but that's an offer that's on the table. And broadcast companies tend to make a lot of money and generate a lot of cash, and so that helps the private equity people pay off their debts.
All of these offers are said to be somewhat disappointing to Tribune management. How soon are they expected to make some kind of decision as to whether to take any of them or none of them?
I think it should happen in the next week.
The next week?
Yeah. I think that they're looking at these and sort of sitting down and I mean, that's not a hard deadline, but I think they're going to take these offers and negotiate back and forth with the bids that have been made and try to come to some kind of conclusion relatively soon.
If one is working at the Los Angeles Times or reading the Los Angeles Times, for that matter, do you think that there's going to be any certainty anytime soon about who the new managers are going to be and what sorts of policies they might want to institute there?
Well, one of the things that's difficult about the Los Angeles Times is even if nothing changes at Tribune, there's so much uncertainty about what's going to happen to that paper because, as you know, there's been so much friction between people like Dean Baquet and Jeff Johnson, the old publisher who left. There's a lot of anxiety in that newsroom that will continue if nothing changes. And then if something does change, one of the things that we've heard is that Eli Broad is interested in making the paper more locally focused, which is something that was actually a spark between Dean Baquet and Tribune. It was a point that they disagreed on. So unfortunately for friends at the LA Times, I'm not sure things are going to quiet down there anytime soon.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. Thanks very much, Sarah Ellison with The Wall Street Journal.
Thank you.
Which Way LA, produced tonight by Vanessa Romo and Dan Konecki, technical director Mike Newport. I'm Warren Alney. Join us again for Which Way LA on 89.9 KCRW.
Which Way LA is made possible in part by the Ralph M. Parsons Foundation, the Nathan Cummings Foundation, the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation, and the John Randolph Haynes and Dora Haynes Foundation, which supports study and research into policy issues of the Los Angeles region.